true crime podcast where best friends and next-door neighbors, Willow and Lillian, spill the tea on murder, mysteries, and other things that go bump in the night. So get your favorite teacup ready, and let's get into it. Welcome to Cruelty Podcast. This is Lillian. With me is Willow.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, so this month, when researching cases for dating app murders, I ran into one common theme, and that was ladies are dead everywhere. Like, it's just a lot of women are usually the victims. Mm-hmm. But I found one where a man was the victim. And this is just, I found this case interesting. It's very sad, but I found it interesting. So I want to get through the trigger warnings really quick. I don't have many. An age gap relationship, I think that's fucking icky. Drug and alcohol use and mention of sex work. So we don't have a lot. This isn't a particularly horribly violent crime, you know, but it's really interesting. And I want your opinion at the end of this on how you think sentencing should have gone in this case. Okay. Because I don't know that I agree with it. So here we go. So, man, I don't know. Like, I want to preface this by saying I'm going to say some things about the victim that are a little critical, but I am not blaming the victim for what happened to him. Okay. And Of course, he did not deserve it. And this is not anything like that. There's no such thing as a perfect victim. We've talked about this many, many times. Absolutely not. Not, no. But I just want to preface that by, I don't want to be disrespectful to the victim, but at the same time, just don't agree with one of his choices. Okay. Yeah. So Adam Hilaire, was 27 years old in 2016 and lived in Auburndale, Florida, which is about 45 miles southwest of Orlando. Adam was a nice young man. He was an amateur boxer and a single dad of a little girl that was his world. He worked at a gas station and was just kind of, you know, he's just trying to get by, trying to provide for himself and his child. He had joint custody of this child with the mother. The summer of 2016 was the end of a two-year relationship with his girlfriend who had been living with him. And then he spent a month being single and decided it was time to get back in, you know, time to get back in the old dating pool. And so he made an account on the dating site Plenty of Fish. Now, I'm not sure. I looked it up. Plenty of Fish now it has an app, and I do believe it had an app in 2016 when I used it in like 2011. It did not have an app, and I did not have a smartphone. So even if it had an app, I wouldn't have known. I used a website like a boomer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if y'all aren't familiar with Plenty of Fish, because it's not a popular dating app. And I'm not sure if I could call it popular, because it's just like a catalog of fucking freaks. Of course I was on there.
See, I always thought it was a Christian dating site.
No, okay. No, that's where most of my polycules came from.
Okay,
so.
Opposite.
Yes, nasty. Okay. But not nasty, polycules aren't nasty, but I was nasty on there. Anyway, basically you upload pictures of yourself, you fill out a little profile and people message you, it's free, and it kind of matches you by location, like it shows everybody in your location. And it was bare bones, that's all it was. There were no quizzes. There were no, like, algorithms matching you, nothing like that. It wasn't like OkCupid, which you kind of took a bunch of, like, personality tests and shit to get better matched with people. And it would show you a percentage of matching and stuff. I was on OkCupid as well. And I do not know how Tinder or Hinge or any of those worked because I got wifed up before those apps were prevalent or around. And I didn't have a smartphone. So I didn't have a smartphone until me and Maris were, like, together for like a year. So I don't know, like, if he like had it on an app or if he had it on his computer. And I listened to the whole trial, so they did not reveal that information. But yes, on August 18th, he started chatting with an 18-year-old girl. So here's where we at?
I figured that's what you were talking about.
I don't like that. Mm-hmm. And when I say 18, she'd only been 18 a month, like a little less than a month. And I think that's gross. I think there's a power imbalance there. I think he was too old for her. He was nearly a decade older than her.
Yeah.
She didn't, you know, she's not going to have the same life experience. What can they have in common?
Yeah.
That is such a huge age difference.
Barely an adult.
And listen, as the mom of three, two of which are now adults, my middle child will be 21 mm-hmm. in December, and my oldest child is in their 20s as well. So, 18 is not okay to date if you're 27. Yeah, it may be legal, but is it right? I'm going to say no. And this child, this girl, this 18-year-old girl, is a very troubled individual. We'll talk more about that. But I'm moving on. That's all I want to say about it. So I don't want to, like, beat up on the victim or anything. I don't think it's respectful.
Right.
But I do want to, my opinion is, girls out there, if you're listening and you're 18, 19, and some guy nearly 30 is hitting you up because you're so old for your age. You're so mature for your age. No, you're not. He's a pile of red flags. Mm-hmm. And the reason he's dating younger women is to manipulate them because older women ain't putting up with his shit. Mm-hmm. The end. Yeah, I'm aware some of those relationships work out. There's always going to be an exception to every rule. But I just wanted to put that out there real quick before we move along. So the girl's name was Haley Bustos. And like I said, she'd only been 18 for a month and had just made the account on Plenty of Fish that day. Her friend Evelyn Belmont had been the one to suggest that she make the account because Evelyn had previously used Plenty of Fish to meet men, which she then used for money. And I don't think she identified as a sex worker, and she is not called a sex worker. But
that's what that is.
That's sex work, honey.
It's work with sex and money.
If you are with a man just to get in his pockets, and you're using your sexuality to help you along the way, that is sex work. Full stop. I just don't like when I see people denigrate quote-unquote whores, yet they're doing the same thing, but they're just putting nicer words on top of it. Like, they're playing them. Mm-hmm. No, honey, that's sex work. Okay, just so we're clear. Just so we're clear. Haley was a high school dropout. She dropped out in the 10th grade. She didn't have a stable home. Like, growing up, she said she bounced from place to place to place. I think she was in foster homes at some point. I know that she stayed with siblings. I know she was close with her sister-in-law. But I don't have any details on her childhood. I don't really have any other information other than what I heard at the testimony of the trial, which is entirely where I put this together from. Because there were no, like, documentaries or podcasts on this particular case. She did not have a good childhood. And because, like, and she was homeless at the time of this incident. And she was just couch surfing, basically, staying with people, usually with boyfriends or with romantic interests or friends. But as a result of her kind of, you know, troubled background and no stable home life, she fell into the wrong crowd. Haley also had a friend named Joshua Ellington, who was a 26-year-old man. Again, no. Like, all these people are so much older than her.
I hate to say it, but I was the exact same way.
Oh, I was too. Yeah. I was too. She'd met him through his younger brother, who had been her boyfriend for a little while. They became close friends over the next year after her breakup with Josh's brother and about a year before this case. And they were partners in crime, literally. Josh was always having her do things for him. And one example that was brought forth in the trial was that he asked her to beat up a woman for him because this woman had accused him of being inappropriate with her and touching her against her wishes. And so Haley went and did it. Through Josh, Haley was introduced to the other players in this case, Josh's cousin Lawrence and a man named Denzel Zell Rakowski. Haley and Zell formed a romantic relationship. He was 21, and this was right after he got out of prison while she was still 17 years old. Gross. The four hung out together frequently, and Haley met 28-year-old Evelyn Belmont through Lawrence. That's the girl who got her to sign up for Plenty of Fish. And this would have been in early August of 2016. Like, before this murder takes place, Haley's only known Evelyn for 2 weeks. And a lot happens in that 2 weeks. Like, a lot. Evelyn's apartment was kind of a neighborhood hangout spot. And not just a neighborhood hangout spot and a place to party, a place to drink weed and, you know, and smoke. Drink weed and drink alcohol.
And smoke booze.
I've drunk weed. Shut up. Tincture. Anyway. Oh. You can drink tincture.
Like at the dispensaries, they have, like, the sodas.
I know. I've had some before. I love them. They are expensive, but they are yummy. Yeah. So, I've been to houses like this. It's a trap house, pretty much. Yeah.
Basically where I was between age of 13 and 22.
For me, it would have been 18 to about 21. Yeah. I was hanging out. I was passing out at people's places. Absolutely. It's where you went to find drugs. It's where you went to party. When you were underage and couldn't get alcohol or cigarettes, you'd go over to these places. And there was always people who kind of lived there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They were there so much and, you know, they didn't really have a stable place, and that's where they'd end up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. In addition to the two young children that Evelyn had that were living there, which is horrible and inappropriate, there was a 26-year-old man named Andre Werner and a 31-year-old man named Gary Terrell Gray. Gucci, as he was called by his friends. I will not be calling him that. The men were close friends of Evelyn's. She considered them brothers, even though they were not related.
Right.
And these dudes are bad dudes. Mm-hmm. They have criminal histories a mile long, a lot of violent crime, a lot of robbery, a lot of drug charges. All of the men around Haley had criminal histories, and everyone was older than her. She was the youngest of this friend group. Evelyn Belmont had been previously arrested for burglary. Haley, shortly after meeting Evelyn, began spending a lot of time at her apartment. I'm going to say mostly because she had nowhere to go.
Yeah.
But also because the two women formed a sexual relationship. Even while she was with Denzel, she had threesomes with Evelyn and Evelyn's current boyfriend. It was not a healthy situation all around. I feel like they took advantage of this girl.
Yeah.
She's so young, troubled background. And then she revealed during testimony in this case that she was pretty much high and on Molly or weed or alcohol the entire time, the entire 2 weeks that she was in Evelyn's apartment. I feel like they plied this girl with drugs and alcohol to get her to do all kind of things.
Yeah.
I mean, your brain's not done developing until you're 25.
I was definitely this girl at this age.
I was not into too many criminal activities. I did sell drugs at that age.
I did not steal.
I did not commit any violent sort of acts. That was not my bag. Mm-hmm. I hung out with a lot of gothy artist hippie types. So this is kind of a different crowd than what I ran with. But yeah. Despite being close with Haley, Evelyn started to get really annoyed with everyone that was hanging out at her apartment because they're staying there and not helping pay the bills. And I can understand that.
Or clean. Or buy toilet paper.
They're not doing shit.
Yep.
So this is what prompted the conversation between Evelyn and Haley that she should get on Plenty of Fish and start using guys for money. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that sounds like they're grooming her to pimp her out.
I was just about to say that, yeah.
I don't know what else to call this.
They've desensitized her with substances and sexual
and sex.
Acts.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't like it. And so this is why we're going to talk about the sentencing later.
I gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. The day she set up the account was August 18th, and that is the day that she met Adam Hilaire on the site. That very night, they agreed to meet up. Haley got into his car, and they went to his apartment where they drank together. See, this ain't cool. She ain't old enough to drink.
Right.
I'm just, the whole thing's upsets me.
Do we know if she said her actual age?
Yes, she did. Okay. He knew she was only 18 years old.
Gotcha.
After he drove Haley to a small town where her sister-in-law lived, after that, that's where they went. And because she wanted to change clothes into something a little nicer for when they went out. And so her sister-in-law and her cousins who were at her sister-in-law's house all kind of got to see him. I don't think they met him, but they saw his car, and that is important for later. And he had a white sedan. Then they went bowling, and it was at a place that Adam went frequently as a child. He enjoyed bowling. I think that's kind of a cute detail for some reason, because bowling's so lame.
Yeah. Yeah. I love bowling.
I do not. So after bowling for a couple hours, they went back to his apartment and hung out for a little bit. It was around 7:30 p.m. when Adam's friend Christopher Rogers showed up, and then the three of them hung out for a bit. Christopher went with Adam to drop Haley back off at Evelyn's apartment, and it was just after midnight. When Haley arrived back, Andre, Gary, Josh, and Denzel were all still at Evelyn's apartment. Haley tried to talk to Denzel, but he was kind of pissed she went on a date, because that's basically her boyfriend.
Yeah.
He got that it wasn't a date in her mind, and she was just going to use this dude for money.
It was work.
Mm-hmm. But he gave her the cold shoulder. He would not talk to her. And feeling kind of rejected and sad, she just went in Evelyn's room to lay down and get some sleep. Even though she had assured him she hadn't done anything. So, I mean, this was clearly like a fight, pretty much. So it was around 2 a.m. when Gary came into Evelyn's room and woke Haley up. He told her that everyone, Evelyn, Andre, Gary, Josh, and Denzel, wanted to talk to her. So they were... And they were all waiting for her on Evelyn's front porch. I don't know why. It was just so ominous and scary to me.
Yeah.
She's just a kid. She went out to talk to them. And they wanted to know if Adam had anything. And this is from Haley's testimony in court. And while it wasn't kind of specified what that meant, I think it's pretty clear. You can assume it means valuables.
Yeah.
Money, electronics, yeah. Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the group sat around and talked about going to Adam's apartment. From testimony, it seemed like the idea was to rob Adam, and it was a plan concocted by Andre, Evelyn, and Haley, but Josh and Gary would then later help plan it. That the idea was, and it says it was concocted by Haley too, but man, I don't think so.
How if she was asleep?
Exactly. They had this idea in their fucking head when they woke her up.
Yeah, they were like, we all want to talk to you, basically. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's bullshit to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's bullshit. So, they then planned the robbery. Mm-hmm. Josh was going to be the getaway driver. He drove the group to Adam's apartment in Andre's car. Andre had a white sedan also. Andre brought a gun. Haley got in the car too. And directed her friends to Adam's apartment. Gary was also in the car. Evelyn remained at the apartment along with Denzel. He did not go. And Lawrence didn't go either. When they got there, Josh and Haley stayed in the car while Andre and Gary went around to the back of Adam's place. Now, they went around the back because that's where Adam, he used it as his main entrance because it was closest to the like main parking lot where he parked his car. And they were kind of messing around back there. And I don't know what they were doing. And I couldn't figure out in any of the testimony because they were gone for a few minutes. So they came back around after that. And I think what they were doing is they were subduing Adam. I do. So they came back around to where they were parked. And Andre told Josh to move the car closer to the front entrance of the apartment because that's where they'd be bringing his stuff. So, yes. When the car was moved, Andre and Gary exited the apartment with a couple flat screen TVs, a baseball cap collection, some bottles of alcohol, a video game console, and just a few other assorted items, including jewelry. They made several trips. Right before they went into the apartment for the last time, Haley said she heard a gunshot. After Andre and Gary got back in the car and Josh started driving back to Evelyn's apartment, Haley testified in court that she started crying when Andre and Gary began joking about how Adam had begged for his life before Andre shot him. Adam said, "Please don't take my life. I have a 5-year-old daughter."
Baby.
And I just hate that. When she kept crying and getting more upset, Andre told her he'd only shot Adam in the arm, so she believed he was still alive. Arriving back at Evelyn's apartment, they kind of brought in all the stuff they'd stolen and kind of took an inventory of it. There were others at the apartment as well as, like, you know, the people who stayed behind, Evelyn and Denzel. Mm-hmm. But there were other people there, too, that weren't a part of this plot. And I just think, like, you got to go to the trouble of planning something. Why are you going to be so fucking dumb? Right. As to where, like, God, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and everybody, and your neighbors are all sitting around where you're bragging and laughing about a robbery you just, and possible murder. Right. I just think it's stupid. So they continued to party, and they drank the alcohol they'd stolen from Adam. Gary and Andre were just boasting to anyone that would listen about the robbery. Everyone there that night said Andre and Gary were happy and celebrating. They were bragging about tying Adam up and laughed about how he begged for his life. Haley told Denzel at Evelyn's that she heard a gunshot, but that she didn't know whether Adam was alive or dead. As the sun came up, the party wound down and everyone went to sleep. Later that day, a friend of Adam's named John Hun came into Adam's apartment and found him lying dead in his kitchen. He took note that the place had been ransacked and robbed, and he called 911 to report Adam's murder. He said there was blood everywhere, but he couldn't tell if he'd been shot or stabbed. So, John, let's talk about him. So, John was a friend of Adam's. He had just kind of got, he was in and out of jail all the time, but he had just gotten out of jail, needed a place to stay, so Adam let him stay in his apartment. While he was staying there, he said that Adam said he was going to pick up some, quote, Spanish girl, and he was also there when Adam returned with Haley. After midnight, John got a text from Adam asking where John had gone, because he had left the apartment to go to his girlfriend's house to spend the night, and so John told him that he would come back to the apartment the next day after work. You know, just normal things, but I'm only including this because John just narrowly missed getting murdered also.
Oh, God.
If he had been in the apartment that night,
God.
Exactly, and it was a spur-of-the-moment decision to go to his girlfriend's house.
Wow, yeah, because that's pretty late at night.
It was late. Yeah. He had, like, left to his girlfriend's house at, like, 10 o'clock. Damn. Mm-hmm. When John arrived back at the apartment around 4 p.m. on August 19th, he tried to get in, but he found the back door locked. He tried texting and calling, but received no answer. He sent a final text at 5:45 p.m. letting Adam know that he was waiting to get in the apartment and he'd been stuck outside since 4 p.m. John, you are patient.
Yeah.
But he had nowhere to go.
Yeah.
You know? John waited about 2 hours and then he got thirsty. According to his testimony, he hopped on his bike to run to the corner store. He hoped that when he returned, Adam would be there to let him inside the apartment. But as he came around the corner, he noticed that the front door to the apartment was open.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't before?
It had been, but he hadn't noticed. Remember, he went in through the back because that's just the way everybody went in.
Gotcha.
So he's standing out there the whole time. I included this because I found it so creepy, you know, eerie, that he's just standing there texting and calling, and he doesn't know the front door's open and that Adam's dead inside.
That's terrifying.
Oh, yeah. He got off his bike and was very cautious approaching the door because Adam never left the door open like that, ever. In fact, he was really good about locking up. He said that the apartment, when he stuck his head inside, was just completely trashed. It was ransacked. And so he knew immediately they'd been robbed. And he was fearful that the burglars were still inside. So John shouted, "Damn, they robbed us," to see if he would hear any noise while he was by the front door.
Right.
When he didn't hear anything, he went into the apartment. And the way the apartment was set up, it had a little entryway. And then when you turned to your right, there was a little bar area. Than the kitchen. So he immediately saw Adam when he went inside and he panicked and immediately called 911 because he said the whole kitchen was just covered in blood. Adam had died from a single gunshot wound to the back of the head. Because of the trajectory of the bullet, investigators believed that Adam had been on his knees when he'd been shot. They also believed that the killers had knocked on the back door and then forced their way inside. Now, Andre Warner was about 6'2", and way over 200 pounds. He was a big dude. Adam was not that big of a dude. They don't know if he used the gun to threaten entry into the apartment, or if he just muscled his way in. And he had, you know, he had help. He had Gary with him. Right. Police interviewed Adam's friends and learned he'd been on a date the night before his murder. They were not sure as of yet that the two events were connected. They had no name for the girl, that she was just called the Spanish girl. She was called that by both Christopher and by John. But they would soon. On the 19th, only hours after the murder, Josh and his cousin Lawrence, along with Denzel, left Evelyn's apartment. Haley stayed there. Later that same day, Haley went with Gary and Evelyn to the town of Lakeland to try and sell some of Adam's things. But one of the TVs they'd stolen had been damaged during the course of the robbery, so they left it on the side of the road. They really didn't get much of anything for any of the items. They kept trying to sell things. They just weren't.
When you said the list of items, I was like, that is not worth. I mean, no items are worth a life, but that's still, that was not money.
Somehow.
That was not money, money.
No. Somehow it makes it more tragic and more senseless to me when the money amount is so low.
Yeah, absolutely.
After that, Haley learned that Andre had not, in fact, shot Adam in the arm, but had killed him. And how she learned was she was going on social media and checking Facebook profiles of people connected to Adam, because she'd seen his Facebook, of course. Because what do you do the first time you meet up with somebody on a date? You go to their Facebook and you stalk them.
Yeah.
So she had been doing that.
Yeah.
And of course, the news of his death was all over the place. And she confronted Andre and he admitted that he killed him. He told Haley that he made Adam get on his knees in the kitchen and then shot him. When she asked why, he said it was because he went in the apartment blind face. And what that means is, like, no mask.
Yeah.
But if your intention wasn't to kill somebody in the first place, why didn't you bring a fucking mask?
Exactly.
Doesn't make any sense.
Or put something over your face. A lot of times people will, like, tie a t-shirt to their face or something.
Something.
Yeah.
They could have just tied him up and taken his shit.
Yeah.
They didn't. Mm-hmm. That night, Haley went with Gary, Andre, and Evelyn to a strip club in Tampa. And I find this so cold and so callous. And that they took this girl to a strip club is so gross to me. Because look, y'all, I mean, in my 20s, like in my mid to late 20s, I was not hanging out with 18-year-olds.
Yeah, no.
Not ever.
No.
They grossed me the fuck on out. On the 20th, the day after the murder, the group drove around trying to sell more of Adam's things to various pawn shops with little success. Then Haley went with Gary and Andre's car to Winter Haven, to where Gary's sister lived. And that's where he sold the Xbox console. And he also sold her some jewelry that Adam had purchased for his 5-year-old daughter.
Baby.
One necklace said Daddy's little girl.
Oh my God.
I know. Gary's sister had no idea where any of these items came from. Gary then split the money with Haley. $50 was how much she got. $50.
It's pathetic.
It is. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. On August 21st, Haley borrowed Andre's car and drove to her sister-in-law's house. And she saw detectives parked out in front of her sister-in-law's house and immediately turned the fuck around and went back to Evelyn's because she assumed they were there about Adam's murder. But they were not. They were there because she had been charged with a different crime. Now, during the court case, they did not say what this crime was, but they wanted to question her about something. It was a far less serious crime. I think it was probably some burglary or something like that. It was something small. I don't even think it was as serious as burglary. So, of course, detectives, when they see this car pull in and then pull the fuck right on out, they was like, who the fuck was that and what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
Well, her cousins had seen Adam's white sedan on the 18th.
Right.
And she is driving another white sedan. They're separate cars, but those cousins assumed it was Adam's car, right?
Yeah.
They fucking spilled the beans, two detectives right there. They're like, hey, we think it's that dude's car. She was on a date with him and now he's dead. So they assumed she had killed him and taken his car. So the Winter Haven police phoned this tip in to the Auburndale police. And this cracked the case wide the fuck open. When they, so blah, blah, blah. Yep. So that same day, They took all of them into custody. Evelyn, Andre, Gary, Haley, Josh, Denzel, all of them. Except Lawrence. He had no idea any of this shit was going on. Poor Lawrence really didn't. He had no fucking clue. Yeah. I don't believe Evelyn was actually charged with anything.
Really?
No.
Not even conspiracy or anything.
Now, here's where shit gets frustrating. Okay? And it pisses me off. So, I looked, and I could find no updates on this. None. Because, you know, I just watched the trial, right. And it was just Andre's trial. That was the only one that was televised. It was on court TV. None of the other defendants, they charged Andre, Gary, Josh, and Haley with first-degree murder. Wow. And burglary, and some assorted other charges.
But Haley was in the car.
She didn't kill anyone, and she didn't go there to kill anyone?
Yeah.
How the fuck are you going to charge her with first-degree murder?
Yeah, she was in the car.
She's in the car. So is Josh. Look, I'm not a fan of him either. I think he's a big cunt. Yeah. But I don't think he should have been charged with first-degree fucking murder.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
Like, to me, that should have been thrown the fuck out.
Are they doing this because they know that they're, like, poor and they can't defend themselves?
Guess what color all these folks is, save Haley? They're black. Oh, yeah. They're black. Adam was black. Haley was Hispanic.
So, yeah. People of color. So.
Of course. So when they brought them in for questioning, everybody lied and said they didn't know what the fuck, you know, they didn't do anything. Mm. But the next day, Haley did crack. She did. And she cooperated with police from that day forth. And she didn't even get offered a deal. And she agreed to testify against Andre. Mm. To me, Andre and Gary should have gotten the first degree murder charges.
Absolutely.
Josh and Haley should have got accessory or something like that.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
And she didn't even know Andre was dead until the next day.
Right.
I don't think she went there with the intention of Andre, excuse me, not Andre, Adam being killed.
Right.
I think she did want to rob him.
Yeah.
I think that was the plan.
Yeah.
And of course, Andre denied everything. And he's like, I don't know what's going on. Blah, blah, blah. And the defense tried to tear down Haley and Josh's testimony, saying they were just trying to get plea deals. But Haley did eventually get a plea deal. But I don't know what it is. I could not find the update. I do not know what her sentence was. I do not know the rest of their sentences. All I know is that Andre was convicted of first degree murder and sentenced to life without parole, which is totally fucking appropriate. He was a violent criminal with a rap sheet a mile long. He has been charged with many, many aggravated assault charges while in prison. Not a good dude. But I don't think Haley should. I think Haley should get out of prison soon. I don't think. Man, I do not like the way laws work against young people in this country. Your brain's not done developing until you're 25.
And there's so many factors that can go into why you committed the crime at such a young age.
Exactly. She was being groomed by these people. She's being plied with drugs and alcohol and sex and just groomed into sex work without even knowing it.
And the pressure of seniority. Like,
exactly. That's what I mean by power imbalance.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why, hey, if you're listening to me and you are a young person under the age of 25 and all your friends are a decade or more older than you, they are not your friends. Watch out. Mm-hmm. Watch the fuck out what these people do. If they are always giving you drugs and if they are always giving you alcohol, something's not right. And honey, it's not just because you're pretty. When me and Willow were young, I guarantee you, I never paid for weed.
Ever.
Until I was 30.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Never. Not any drug. Not any alcohol. Mm-hmm. Never.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was because I was cute. No. It was because I was young and malleable and manipulatable. They were grooming me for other things. Luckily, nothing bad happened to me. I mean, some things
tons
did.
Of bad things happened to me.
But not that level of bad.
Yeah,
nobody bad. Died.
Yeah.
You know?
Thankfully.
No major crimes were committed, by me anyway.
Yeah.
And I was never around that, but how easy it would have been to put me right in her shoes. How easy. Think of yourself when you were very young, how easy it would have been.
I was adjacent to all of those crimes. Absolutely. Never in the moment, but I was always at the flop house after shit was going on.
Lucky me, like I said, I hung out with a bunch of fucking goths and like ravers, skaters, and hippies.
Yeah.
And they were pretty gentle folks. Yeah. Their crimes consisted of mainly of vandalism and like shenanigans and drugs.
I just, any type of substance, I was around it.
Oh, yeah.
But as long as there were substances involved. So I saw quite a bit.
I did kind of go down a darker path when I was 19 and I lived in Oklahoma City and I worked at a place called the Rec Room, which was an after hours gay club, which was totally fun. But there was more drugs coming out of that place than I'd ever seen in my entire life. And there was a hotel next door that people used for hooking up and for prostitution, frankly. Mm-hmm. And of course, I kind of got into that because I was homeless and needed money. And it got scary several times. I was around some real yucky shit, and I just decided, like, this ain't my scene, and I got the fuck out of there. And if I hadn't, I don't know what would have happened. I'm just saying, like, people want to judge her and say horrible things about her, but I was her.
And she didn't pull the fucking trigger.
She had no idea that was going to happen.
Murder was not on
her mind at all.
Yeah.
And first-degree murder means the legal definition is that you plot, plan, premeditate, kill.
Yes.
She didn't do any of those things.
Yes.
For burglary, sure.
Absolutely.
She should be in prison 10 years. Tops.
I mean, Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
Don't want to talk about that bitch.
I don't even like to say her first name out loud.
I don't like that bitch. Because here's the thing.
Chalkbird.
She knew she could walk.
Yeah. Yeah, she did.
And I think towards the end, she was in on them scams with her mama. Yes, I do. I've read every text message she sent to Nicholas Godejohn. Every single one. That's a nasty, conniving soul right there. She should never have been abused. That was wrong. But she should have never killed her mother either. And she ruined that man's life. Now, hey, he could have said no. But the way she painted that picture is he was saving his true love from imprisonment and constant abuse. And I think she should be in jail with him forever. Anyway, you can disagree and send me hate mail. That's fine. My email is always in the description of the podcast. And it will immediately get deleted and I will laugh while taking a poop or something.
We'll see what happens to her. There's a lot of stuff unfolding right now.
I know. I'm rubbing my little hands like a raccoon. My little mitts.
I've been just like keeping up with so much celebrity drama and like
media drama.
Just everything. And I'm just.
Here's what I'm. You want to know what one I'm on right now?
Huh.
JoJo Siwa. Can I talk about it, please, for just a second? Can I please be petty and shitty? Because JoJo Siwa's a monster, so I can say this. she has several abuse allegations against her.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
I haven't gone down.
It was a reality show she did that was going to be like a kinder, gentler Dance Moms, right? No. She made a girl with spina bifida.
Oh, my God.
Who was scheduled for spinal surgery the next day keep dancing even though her belly button was bleeding because of complications from spina bifida. Uh-huh.
Sorry, this is bad radio, but I can't do anything but mouth.
Oh, mouth. Mouth. Yeah.
A gape.
Wow. Yeah. So now we can talk about how fucking cringe her rebrand is. Girl.
I love it.
What are you doing?
I love it. It's like self-detonating. It's so
just,
beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Makes me want to rip all my flesh off.
I love watching everybody's reactions.
I can't cope.
Especially like the black community's reactions.
Oh, girl, they are killing me. They are sending me with their, like, this shit. But like, y'all, it looks like Gene Simmons and Skipper had a baby.
Yeah.
Ooh, I went all Jennifer Coolidge. I was so upset.
What are you talking about? You can't.
What?
Sorry, she's so original. She did everything for the first time.
She did say
she's
that.
The first.
She's like, no one's ever done this before.
I'm like, uncharted waters. Nobody's ever done this before.
And then all the lesbian romance drama on like socials and Insta and stuff where she like broke up with her girlfriend and her girlfriend like ate a Arby's original roast beef. We know what that implies. The pussy was flappy.
Like on Insta or something?
Yeah. And then JoJo went back and was like, and you were eating it like this. And I was just like, oh, Lord, this is so messy. So that's what I'm into.
Gotcha.
That's what I'm into. Gotcha. And then, of course, I'm into the Gypsy Rose Blanchard fuckery. I know she recently left her husband.
Mm-hmm. Got tattoos with the ex.
Gross, messy. Yeah, but I thought that D was fire.
Did she get a restraining order for her ex-husband? Yes. Or something like that? And then he's also asking him for all this money as well. It's like, give me money, but don't talk to me.
I've used that trick. Oh, you want a crumb of pussy? You should give me the money. And then just like, buck, 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 buck. Look, I didn't say I was nice. Y'all have been listening to me long enough. I'm a huge bitch, but I didn't kill anybody.
That's right.
I'm just a hoe. Oh, a trifling home-wrecking hoe. It's true. I wrecked Maris's home so good that he moved many states away. I wrecked the shit out of it. I'd do it again! Anyway, I've degenerated into degeneracy as I usually do. Y'all don't understand. Okay, so I have ADHD and probably autism.
Yes, both.
And I'm in a hypomanic state right now and have been for about 2 days. First, I'd like to say I'm having a very good time. But you can always, if you're on my Facebook, you will know when I'm hypomanic, when it is like 80,000 memes and they're all devastating. Yes. And I am just sitting in here hooting, hollering, about to pee my pants.
Yep. And I'm over here like, oh my God.
I'm listening to ABBA. I'm vaping until like you can't even see in my room. I have at least 10 beverages lined up and I am just having the best time. I was having such a good time all day. Ask me what I did. I don't know. I just shit posted on the internet and giggle snorted to myself and farted in my room. That's what I did. But yes, I'm currently really hypomanic, so expect really fun things, because when I'm hypomanic, I work really hard until I burn out and crumble to dust. And I like it that way.
Ooh. I just watch.
It's like you pull a string and I go, and I cannot stop. And I know I'm being absolutely apeshit. I know I'm being unhinged. I know I will get myself in trouble. I will be offensive or horrible in some way, but there is no stopping the train once you're on it. Do you get hypomania?
Not really, no.
Mm-mm. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I get crafty, but and cleany, but
I never get cleany. Yuck! I love that's what cleaning. A husband and children are for.
But yeah, join our Discord,
please.
That's where all that stuff takes place,
and our Patreon. So, what am I covering for Patreon? It will be up this week, probably in the next couple days. I need to calm down just a little bit because it was really hard to get through these notes. I could not focus. I listened to the Tom Cardi "Have You Checked Your Butthole" song like 10 times in a row because I thought I was just like, yes, it's funny. Funny make the serotonins. But yeah, so I have to get serious and talk about death and murder and mysteries. And I will be covering cave diving gone really wrong and a most gruesome death and a mystery. It's very cool, and I want you to come onto Patreon so I can tell you all about it. We cover more than just true crime on Patreon. We cover weird stuff, horrible stuff, history, just kind of whatever strikes our fancy in the moment. But there is plenty of true crime. There are over 200 episodes on Patreon alone, almost as many as we have in the regular podcast. So come and check us out. There are many different tiers. Pick one.
Come see.
And then, Discord. Join that, please. Why are you making me beg? I mean, it is my kink to beg. So I can beg harder if you want.
Ew, gross.
Oh, yeah, I'll be disgusting. Would you like me to stop being disgusting? Too bad. Get on Discord. Anyway, yes, do that. We have a very good time in there. I almost peed my pants laughing today at myself because I'm insane. But, like, we're having fun. Anyway, if you're on YouTube, would you fucking, just for the love of God, would you please like and subscribe and comment? There'll be video soon. Maybe I won't do video until you say, please, Lillian, please. Maybe
she
I like.
She also has a beg kink as well.
Oh, I like being begged. You naughty little sluts. Oh, tell me how much you want it. Oh, why are you such a fucking prude? Like, that is like not even the tip of my disgusting iceberg. Not even just the tip. I'll give you the whole thing, baby. But you have to hit like, subscribe, and you have to comment, and you have to tell me I'm pretty and that you love me. Anyway, do that. But if all you want to do is listen, that is cool too. We do it for you, baby. Yeah, we do. Go fuck yourself, Willow, but in a non-fun way. Like, go sit on a cactus, erotically.
No. She retired.
That would hurt real bad, by the way. Unless you're into that, then don't sit on a cactus. Sit on something nicer, like a pillow.
Good night.
Good night.
Us on your social media platform of choice. Linktree/cruelty has all the links. Check out our Patreon for exclusive episodes, merch, ad-free episodes, live ghost hunts, and much more. Please be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded weekly. Thank you so much. See you next time. Music and production by Libby.